Seems it never rains in Southern California. Seems I've often heard that kind of talk before. It never rains in California, but girl, don't they warn ya? Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos over at the Mile High Show. And we are on the road for episode 125. Here, let's see if you can hear it. Let's see. I'm going to turn it up. That there is the sand and surf in Santa Monica, California. We are at the Santa Monica Pier. The beautiful ocean, the Pacific Ocean. I haven't been here in a while. We are here, here in Northern California, in Santa Cruz this past summer on a little family vacation, and got to spend some time with the in-laws and my brother and my sister and their kids and some other folks. But we were up in Santa Cruz in July, and that was a little extended vacation. This weekend, we did a kind of a last-minute little trip just for a couple of days. We drove down from Prescott, Arizona area, Chino Valley, Arizona, down through through Skull Valley and down through, I believe, Wickenburg, and had a little breakfast in Brenda, Arizona at the Black Rock Cafe, a nice little spot. On our way to beautiful Los Angeles, California, and just a little chance to get away and visit with some family. I'm here down with my brother-in-law, Sammy, and his two kids, Jasmine and James, and getting a chance for my own boy, Anthony, to spend some time with his cousin. So that's the reason we came on down and wanted to hang out at the beach for an afternoon. It's a little cold. It's a little windy and overcast, drizzly, and this is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful Saturday afternoon in Santa Monica, California. Not how our trip started. We started coming down, like I said, yesterday, Friday morning. Hit the road about 6 a.m. and got to Southern Cal in the afternoon. It was about 2:30, 3 o'clock, after stopping for breakfast and lunch, and right about the time we hit the LA area, we started getting rained on. And it is, as the newspaper this morning, the esteemed LA Times billed it, one of the worst rainstorms in Los Angeles history. There was flooding. Roads closed. The I-5 was closed. Pouring and flooding of streets and knocking down of trees. The metro section of the LA Times today had a picture of a car that had fallen into a sinkhole. And I'll put that up on the website at Mile High Show and milehighshow.com. A tree that fell and crushed a car somewhere in LA. So we got here right in the middle of a major, major storm. And we're glad it's over, because it's drizzly and cool, but not raining, not pouring rain out here in Santa Monica. So we got that to look forward to. I want to run you through a couple of things. This is going to be a little short one. I just wanted to get an episode up so that I can fulfill my commitment to the Podcast Radio Network, podcastradionetwork.net. where we are rebroadcast every Sunday afternoon. Check them out. Today's show is brought to you by BarkBox, where you can get great treats for your pets by using the BarkBox link right there on the main page of the Mile High Show at milehighshow.com. So please use that. It's a way for you to support the show and get good things for your pets. And I'm looking right at two beautiful huskies that are walking up and down the pier here with their prospective owners, or I guess friends or family. You don't call them owners. I think that's doggist to call them owners. You don't want to You don't own another living being, I guess. Anyway, so we get down here, and it is pouring, pouring rain. And we work our way to our reservation that we made through hotels.com, usually a great source for recommendations and great deals on lodging, not a sponsor of the show. And yesterday, for some reason, we got the worst of the worst. We pull up in pouring rain to what looks like a very run-down crack house right near LAX in Inglewood on Aviation Boulevard. I'm going to let you know. That way, if anybody here is listening and planning a trip to Los Angeles or the LA area, do not stay. Again, I will repeat, this is an anti-sponsorship. Do not stay at the LAX Suites on Aviation Boulevard in Inglewood. This is, I'm going to walk you through what happened. Hey, a helicopter's landed. I'll walk you through what happened as we checked in. First off, it is pouring rain. Like I said, my brother-in-law and his kids were going to meet us, and they got a little late start because I-5 near Grapevine was closed down due to flooding, so they got rerouted and ended up way on the east side, on the opposite side of Pasadena, way out in the middle of nowhere, and had to weasel their way back through. So they were stuck in nasty traffic. We were stuck in nasty traffic. We figured, let's get to the rooms. We'll check in, unpack, get everything set, and we'll dry off and wait and let ourselves rest a little bit before Sammy and his kids get there. So we get to the Heroin Inn, as I think we'll rename it, the LAX Suites on Aviation, and it is absolutely horrible. Horrible in the parking lot. There's homeless people with their shopping carts loaded with their earthly belongings in the parking lot. I walk in to the lobby, and we had reserved two double rooms. We had two rooms with two beds each, my wife and I in one, my son in the other, in our room. And then Sammy gets his bed, and then his kids can crash in the other. So two rooms, four beds total, all prepaid through hotels.com. And we get there, and I go in because it's pouring rain. I leave Sandra and my wife and my son in the car. And I get into the lobby, and this is in very PC and smoke-free California, where cigarettes are basically outlawed in most public areas, especially indoors. And there is a woman in her mid to late 60s, I would guess, but who knows? At this place, she could have been 25, I don't know. Very dirty, dingy clothes, barefoot, sitting on a chair in the lobby, a very small lobby, about half of which is taken up by a fish tank. One of those ones that you'd see at a Chinese restaurant with entrees floating around, swimming around in it. It was a big, stinky, very smelly, algae-filled fish tank, very big, about 4 feet worth of fish tank in the middle of the lobby. She's sitting in a chair next to it. And she's about I don't know if she's nodding out. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. She walked from West LA, East LA or something. And she was tired, so she sat down in the lobby and took a nap. Either that or she was nodding out from her latest fix. I don't know. But she had a half-smoked cigarette dangling lit hanging from her mouth. So she's sitting in the lobby, half asleep, smoking, stinking up the place. So now picture cigarette smoke mixed with algae, mixed with dead fish, mixed with whatever the manager and his son were cooking in the back. All those smells wafting through the LAX Suites on Aviation Boulevard, which you should never stay at, just stunk to high heaven. Because of the rain, the lobby's kind of half flooded out with water just from blowing in. That's not really their fault. That was happening everywhere, even the 7-Elevens and coffee shops and stuff, because it was just pouring so bad. But to combat the water flowing through the lobby, they just laid down bunches of cardboard, flattened out cardboard boxes in the lobby as kind of a runners or floor mats. So I walk in on this nasty, wet, soaking wet, sopping wet cardboard carpet. Some drugged out homeless lady nodding off with a cigarette hanging from her lips. And the smell of this large algae-filled fish tank. And I'm thinking to myself, I do not think I'm going to stay here. So I go to check in. I figure, let me at least go up and check out the room. And I tell the guy, who barely speaks English, Asian gentleman, young guy, maybe late 20s, early 30s, and a very old guy behind him, must have been his dad or grandpa or something. He checks me in. The younger guy checks me in, takes my ID, takes my credit card for the deposit, or like a cleaning deposit, which I can't imagine they would ever have cleaned this facility. And he checks me in, hands me one single key, the card key, and tells me what room I'm on. He says, it's around back. And I said, well, I reserved two rooms. He goes, yeah, that's two rooms. I said, no, I two rooms. He goes, yeah, two bedrooms, one suite, same unit. I said, no, I've got two units. So I pull up on my phone my email confirmation from hotels.com, and I show him two rooms, four beds, and the price. And he goes, nope, sorry, this is all we got. I said, well, I need two rooms. We've got another family coming. And he says, well, yeah, that's two rooms in there. Here, go check it out. And I go, all right, give me the key. I already have the key. I said, okay, I need my ID back and my credit card. He goes, no, we hold on to those. I said, excuse me, I need my ID. It's my driver's license. He goes, no, we hold on to that till you check out. And I said, absolutely not. Give me my credit card. Give me my driver's license back. He goes, no, you leave them here, and then you get them when you come in and out. And I said, no. And he wouldn't give it. He just refused to give it back to me. So I immediately call the 800 number for hotels.com, and I get put on hold. In the meantime, while I'm on hold, I go back to the car to drive around back, only to find out that there is no drive around back. To get to the back end of this motel, the LAX Suites on Aviation Boulevard in Inglewood that you should never stay at, you have to walk through an alley that is flooded out with about 5 inches of water. So my tennis shoes are completely submerged. You can't wheel your luggage because it's flooded out and filthy, with somebody on three milk crates, those plastic milk crates you see like behind a 7-Eleven or a Circle K. And this guy, I think it was a guy, I don't know if it was a guy or a woman, and a person has three of those lined up in the corner of this alley with a bunch of cardboard over it, and he/she is sleeping on there. So this is a homeless encampment in the alley on the motel premises, right there in the premises, right there in the parking lot, basically. So I got to walk past this person. Then I go around the corner to the back end of the motel, and there's literal. I think I'm going to go back, and I'll take a picture before we go. I don't know. Maybe I won't. I don't want to risk it. But there is broken bicycles, broken shopping carts, a lamp, couch cushions just mildewed and ripped and rotten. It's just piled with garbage. This looks like a condemned building. So I go to our suite, our unit. It's upstairs. It's kind of like in a little outdoor hallway kind of thing, but it's very dark. Almost like an old apartment building kind of thing where you got to go up these stairs. It's very dark. It's a very tight area. And there's one light fixture that has no cover, no bulb, and no fixture. It's just bare wires hanging down. I don't know if they're live. I don't know what's going on. I don't want to go near it because it's all wet and my feet are soaked. And I use the key card to get in the room, open the door, and immediately I am inundated with this foul smell of dirt and mildew and just junk, just a bunch of garbage. that just stinks. It smelled like wet locker room or something. And there's two beds that are not made. There's like old linens on them. A styrofoam cooler, you know, like one of those disposable styrofoam cooler things, holds about a 12-pack, that is half filled with dirty water and like the plastic from an ice bag, a bag of ice, and a couple empty beer cans. And it's just like leaking on the little table. And then there's a little kitchenette. It's got a refrigerator and a stove. It's got like a full stove. This is like a resident hotel kind of thing, it looks like. On a separate room. That's the second room. So it's two beds in one room, then this little kitchenette, and a bathroom with a broken door, kind of like hanging on the hinges, and just a rust-stained sink, and that's about all I looked in. I didn't even stick my head in the tub area. So I lock it up, go downstairs, and I tell him, I said, this is one room. I reserved two rooms, but I don't want it. I'm checking out. And he proceeds to tell me that if I leave, I will be charged in full. He will not refund the money. So I tell him I need my... At this point, I still don't have my credit card or my driver's license. So I tell him I need those. I need them back. I slide the one key he gave me back under the little glass, bulletproof glass thing. It's like in a downtown Oakland check cashing place. This is what this lobby looked like. I slide him the key through the thing. He reluctantly gives me my driver's license and my credit card back. I then call hotels.com again. I had hung up because I was on hold for so long. And I dial them back up. I go back to the car. I sit in the car and I wait. And I get somebody. And I tell him the whole situation. I let him know that I will need a refund in full. He puts me on hold. He says, I'm going to call the facility and I will I just stay on hold. He comes back about 2 or 3 minutes later and says, you're refunded completely in full. Don't worry about it. I spoke to the manager. They took care of it. They did let me know you weren't happy. And don't worry about it. You're refunded in full. He gives me a little reference number so I can follow up to make sure I'm not charged. And he says, let me set you up. I've got another hotel, a couple exits down, and I will make sure that this one, we have great reviews on it. We'll set you up. So he books me to a two-bedroom suite. It's four beds in one suite at, and I wrote it down, the American Inn and Suites on Prairie in Inglewood. Tip number two, never stay there either. American Inn and Suites on Prairie in Inglewood. He sets me up there. We go in. Again, I park. It takes us about 15 minutes to get there. It's only right around, it's like one exit up. It's pretty close. But it takes us forever to get there because the freeways are flooded. There's accidents. There's lane closures, all kinds of stuff. So we finally get there. I park. The parking lot itself is completely flooded. So I get out. Leave my son and wife in the car, go in, check in, get two keys, and then I'm handed two Goodwill store, thrift center, broken remotes that you have to check out in and out. And I go up to the room, and yes, it is a two-bedroom suite. It's got a little kitchenette, microwave and a refrigerator. Two bedrooms, one of which has a big hole in the door, like somebody kicked it through. And I'm thinking, it's getting late, I'm beat, we'll just stay here the night. We're booked up for three nights, but we'll stay the night, check out in the morning. We need to get some rest, and my brother-in-law's frustrated, stuck in traffic on his way. So we start loading up the stuff, and each trip, we do two or three trips upstairs, and it gets to the point where looking, the third time in the room, I'm looking, and my wife's looking, and she goes and checks out the bathroom. And then we start looking, okay, how are we going to lock this place up so we can sleep soundly tonight? And the, not a deadbolt, it's one of those little things that flicks over, it's like a bracket that locks your door, is hanging like somebody ripped it out of the door. So we can't lock the door. The place stinks. I'm looking at the carpet. It was filthy, filthy carpet to where, like, my son starts taking his shoes off. I said, no, sit on the bed, put your shoes and socks back on. You are not walking barefoot on this hepatitis-filled carpet. It's horrible. So we sit there. Sandra's getting more and more frustrated. I'm getting frustrated. Anthony is tired. He hasn't had dinner. It's now 5 o'clock. And we're sitting there for about 10 minutes, and I look at Sandra. I said, let's pack it up. We're getting out. Let's just go. We have no place to stay. I call hotels.com again, say this is as bad as the first place. They refund everything again. I go downstairs, and it's literally like a condemned building. One of the units we pass on the way back to the office is actually open. They're like gutting it out and replacing carpet and mildewed walls and everything. The guy's in there tearing walls out. I go in and I tell the guy, I can't stay here. I can't do it. The guy at the desk, young kid, 20, 22, something like that. And he goes, well, we'll just get you another room. I said, no, I'm not staying here. I can't. It smells. The whole place reeks. So I give him back his key and we work our way out. End up meeting up with my brother. He's at a Denny's somewhere outside of Pasadena. And my son needs something to eat. My wife needs something to eat. His kids are just ordering. So I leave them all there. And I said, I'm leaving. I am going to go find us a room. Even if it's for one night, I'm finding us a room. We'll worry about this in the morning. Now, keep in mind, during this whole time out here, my plan was to be at the Hollywood Improv for a 7:30 show to see my buddy Steve Simone from the Good Times podcast, awesomesteve.com, with his new CD, What's Up Nerds, available on iTunes and Google Play and all those good places, and at Amazon by using the Amazon link at milehighshow.com. a little commercial there. So I'm supposedly going to be, I've already purchased tickets online, reserved a couple of seats for my brother-in-law and myself at the 7:30 show, thinking, you know, we'll get checked into the hotel at 4, clean up, grab a bite to eat, head on over. Didn't happen. So now it's already almost showtime. I'm writing off the Hollywood Improv. He was there with Christine Prezinski and a couple other folks, but I was there. I was planning on going to see Steve Simone perform at the Hollywood Improv. Never been to the Hollywood Improv. So that was my plan. So I purchased these two tickets, about $40 worth of entertainment flushed down the toilet, and I'm going to scrap it, and I'm not going to worry about it. We'll worry about everything that happens the next day, which is today. So I drive around and I just Google close by lodging, and I find a place. Plug number 3. America's Best Value Inn, a Vantage Hotel on North Alvarado Street in Los Angeles. And I pull up, and it looks pretty nice, but very, very small. It's like a two-story, but very, very small on the corner of Alvarado and something else. I don't know. And I walk in the lobby, and I ask the lady, I says, do you have any rooms? And she says, yes, I've got one room left. I said, how many beds? She goes, 2. I said, I'll take it. I figured we'll take it one night, and we won't worry about it, and we'll sleep and worry about everything in the morning. So I check in. I go upstairs, figuring, before I call anybody, I want to see what this room is like. And I go upstairs, and I open up the doors to the room, and it's beautiful. It's a little small room. It's clean. It's very small, but it's beautiful. It's very comfortable. A little refrigerator, a little microwave. Very clean bathroom. The carpet, you could touch it with your bare feet. It was very, very nice. It looked freshly painted. I don't know if it was, but it was that clean. So I immediately go downstairs. I said, "I can I book this for the rest of the weekend?" She goes, "Oh, you can. But what you have to do, since I already charged you for tonight, is you got to come back tomorrow. You can just come in tomorrow morning. I'll lock it in. You can keep that room for 2 more days. Check out Monday. That's our plan. And I'll just run your card tomorrow because I can't. Otherwise, I got to refund it out and add the 2 nights, and it's a big thing." She goes, "I'll just lock it in. You're good to go." thank you. I get the Wi-Fi password. I say thank you very much. And I explained to her. I said, I've had some trouble today. We had to go to two other hotels. They were horrible. I've been driving around looking for this place, looking for a place. I found your place, and I can't tell you how happy I am. And it happens to be not that far from the Comedy Store, where I know my buddy Steve was going after the improv. So I start running through my head, well, maybe I can still catch up with him. I can still head over there and maybe hook up with Steve anyway. Steve Simone, awesomesteve.com. What's up, nerds? A CD you can pick up on Amazon. So I go upstairs. So I'm telling her the problems I was having. She goes, oh, well, I'm glad you like it. And then she drops the hammer. She says, now remember, only two people allowed in that room. And in my head, I'm like, okay, I've got three, myself, my wife, and my son. My brother's got three. So six people in a two-person room. I just keep my mouth shut. So I am very sorry, American. Who is it? I am very sorry to the good folks at America's Best Value Inn for bringing six people into a two-person suite. But we are taking care of it. We're not going to wreck it. I put the Do Not Disturb sign on the door. We'll remove it on Monday. We did check in and get the other two nights today at significantly more than I was planning on paying, but oh well, we're good. So we will take care of the room. We won't wreck it. We won't abuse anymore our privilege of staying in your fine establishment, and it is a great spot to stay. So if you are ever in the Los Angeles area, America's Best Value Inn, 811 North Alvarado Street in Los Angeles, California, is the place to stay. Just don't tell them I sent you and took six people into a room that was equipped for two. So anyway, so I text my wife, and she calls me right back and says, yes, we're done eating. We are ready to go sleep. Did you find a place? And yes, I did. But do me a favor. When you get here, text me. I will meet you in the parking lot, and I will escort you guys up as discreetly as possible, because we're only supposed to have two people in this room. So about 10 minutes later, she texts me. In the meantime, what I did is I jumped in the shower real quick, changed my clothes, because I am on my way. As soon as they get there, I am going to head over to the Comedy Store on Sunset, the world-famous Comedy Store, to see my buddy Steve Simone. So I get out of the shower. I start bringing up the stuff. I take a quick shower, change, start bringing up our stuff so that all they have to do is sneak on up the room. I get everything loaded up. My last trip down, they pull up, so we sneak up real quick. I tell the kids, okay, be quiet. Be quiet. We got to sneak in. We get up there. My brother-in-law, Sammy, is wiped out. He is going to stay in and sleep. The kids are tired. They pop some popcorn in the microwave, watch a little TV, and they're going to bed. My wife is finally not ready to strangle me. And she's resting, and I start thinking, okay, it's about a 10-15 minute drive to the Comedy Store. Got to drive there. I'm not really familiar with the place. I don't know the parking situation. I don't know what I need to do. Then I think, hey, and it's right now, it's about 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, California time. So I start thinking, everybody talks about Uber. We don't really have Uber. I think we have one Uber driver in the Prescott area, but we don't really have Uber. And that Uber driver, I think, it's either Uber or Lyft started maybe 6 months ago. It's brand new. They have Uber and Lyft in Phoenix. I've never used it. I've never had the opportunity or need to do so. But I know it's extremely popular in California, extremely popular in Los Angeles. A lot of the podcasts I listen to, they talk about going to and from the clubs in Ubers. And that's like the thing to do. So I download the app, not knowing how to use this, what it's going to cost. I have no idea. And I look at it. It gives you the price. It's like $9. $8 and some odd cents to go from the hotel to the Comedy Store. So I click it. I'll do it. I got my credit card information in. I click it. And then it pops up. Driver will be there in three minutes. So I race down. Say goodnight to everybody. Race down. Sure enough, the driver pulls up. I don't know what... I don't know how to Uber. I don't know what this stuff is. So I get down there. And he's pulling up as I'm walking down the steps. And he flicks his lights and he rolls down the window. He says, "Hey, are you Matt?" "Yeah." He says, I'm not Vic. It was the other guy. And he goes, "Get in." And I look, and there's two other people in the back seat. I did the pool, is what it's called. There's like three different levels you can do. I did pool because it was cheaper by a couple of bucks, not knowing really what it meant. And what it meant was I get in the front seat. These two young ladies are in the back seat. They're going somewhere. I don't know. Are we all going to the comedy store? What's happening? So I sit down. He goes, "Okay." And he takes off. And minutes later, we're driving past the comedy store. And when I say drive past, I don't mean stopping and letting me out. He drives past. They were going elsewhere. So they were in the car first. They get dropped off first. That's fine. We drive past it. He goes to drop them off at a theater, a nightclub. And they get out. And I slide my seat back because my knees are up on the dashboard at this point. And I assume we're going to the comedy store. So we get back on the highway. I don't know which one it is. I'm not paying attention too much at this time. I'm just enjoying the ride. And very nice guy, super clean car, had some great music playing on I believe it was Sirius XM. And then I pull out my phone to kind of map it, and we're nowhere near the comedy store at this point. We're many blocks away. What the heck? It's still early. So we go somewhere else and pick up a young lady, Delilah. She gets in the backseat. So we all say hi, and then he gets back on the freeway, and we end up going at that point to the comedy store. So it was an education for me. It was my Uber inauguration journey, and it was extremely pleasant. $9, and I got a nice little tour of the Hollywood nightlife, and I get dropped off as I step out at the world-famous comedy store right in front of that famed patio next to the ramp where that comic years ago jumped to his death from the Hyatt. Check out I'm Dying Up Here, the book by... what's his name? Nodelster, I think it is. Great book. I got it at home. Anyway, this is the world-famous comedy store. I step out wondering, I guess I'll text Steve. I don't know what time he was coming. I don't know what time he goes on. I step out of the Uber, say thank you to the guy, tap the hood, let him know it's time to go away. I turn around. I don't know, am I supposed to buy a ticket? I haven't been to the comedy store in 30-plus years. Mid-80s is the last time I was there, when it was a ghost town down there. And I walk up. There's a huge line at the box office. The patio is packed. There's a doorman at the patio. I don't know if he's not. I don't know what the process is. Do I got to buy a ticket? Do I get in? Can I just go up to the patio bar area? Do you have to be paid admission to get in there? I don't know. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll just text Steve. And as I pull out my phone, I look up, and there's my buddy Steve Simone standing 5 feet away from me, talking to some buddies. His back to me, and I reach over, I tap him on the shoulder, I go, "Steve, what's going on?" And so he gives me a big old hug, we talk, and he goes, "Hey, you want to go hang out and back?" I guess, and I'm about to ask him, "Okay, so you want me to go buy a ticket? What do you bring me in? What's going on?" And he grabs my arm, he goes, "Come on," and then he stops, he goes, "Hey, it's Brody Stevens." And I look up, and Brody Stevens is walking through the club, followed by a couple cameramen, because Brody Stevens... the incredible comic that calls the comedy store his home, is filming a special that night for CISO, I believe. And he's doing several shows that they're filming. Steve, it turns out, was on stage with him a little bit earlier in the packed main room. And now he's walking through the club getting some B-roll stuff with this camera crew behind him. So I snap a quick, try to be discreet about it, a quick little cell phone picture of Brody Stevens talking to some people. I'm getting out of the cameraman's way. And Steve goes, "Come on, let's go." And we walk through by the comics parking lot, right by the ramp, through the patio area. into the club, just straight into the club. And this is the scene that's in my head that I've seen on comedy specials, movies, TV shows where they're showing the Comedy Store. And I'm there. This is the iconic, world-famous Comedy Store. And he walks us down the hallway. We pass the original room. We go up, poke our head in the main room. I don't even see who's in there. I'm blown away by the fact I'm walking through the Comedy Store. And if you listen to any comedy podcasts, including the Comedy Store podcast by Rick Ingram and Eleanor Kerrigan, they talk a lot about it's about the Comedy Store, and it's about the characters that make up the Comedy Store, the history. And they're always talking about when the comics are always cutting up in the kitchen and hanging out, and then you hear about the famed comics only bar in the belly of the beast in the back behind the kitchen where only comics are allowed to go back there. And I hear about all these mythical stories, and Steve goes, come on. And he walks me through. We go through the hallway, stick our heads in the room. He goes, hey, check out. We'll pop in there later, listen to some comedy. And then he walks in the kitchen, and I don't know. Am I supposed to follow him? So I kind of stop at the edge of the kitchen. He's talking to some of the employees back there. And he turns around and looks at me. He goes, come on. Let's go in the back. And he takes me through the kitchen where I've heard so many stories about, Dice and Kinison and Robin Williams and Richard Pryor hanging out, talking in the kitchen with the employees and stuff. And we walk through the kitchen to this little area that is the comics only bar. And I meet Luke, the bartender back there. Steve and I sit down at the bar. This is a little tiny, tiny room. And this is the inner sanctum. And my buddy Steve Simone brought me back there. And I got chills. I've met famous people. I've covered them. I've photographed presidents many times. Movie stars, musicians, athletes, comics. But it's always been work-related. And here I am with my buddy Steve having a Diet Coke in the famed private comics-only bar at the Comedy Store. And it's just me, Steve, and Luke sitting in this bar, the three of us. And Steve looks at me and he goes, isn't this the coolest? He still has. He's been there how many years? 15, 18 years? He used to manage the club. He was a doorman. He worked the phones. He's been on stage thousands of times. And he still gets that, isn't this cool, look on his face. That appreciation of knowing he is in the heart of comedy as we know it for the past 40 decades, the world famous Comedy Store, and I'm right there with him. And we're there, and then he goes, I'll be right back. Bill Burr just got off stage, the incredible Bill Burr. He goes, I got a gift for him. I got to go give him. And he takes, do I got to leave? What? He goes, no, stay here. I'll leave my coat. Watch my coat. So he leaves, and I'm sitting there with Luke, and we start talking. Super, super nice guy. And then in walk some of the servers, and they're hanging out. And then some other comics walk in. And then a comic that works at the Comedy Store. I believe he produces the Comedy Store podcast, but I know he does the voiceover intro for it. Mr. Ari Manis, hilarious young comic. He walks in. He doesn't remember me. I met him last year at the Big Pine Comedy Festival in Flagstaff where I was there. He was a featured performer there, and I got a chance to sit and talk with him for a little bit. He didn't remember me. I kind of gave him a little head nod. But he does a lot of the pictures that get posted on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter and stuff for the Comedy Store. He works there, and he also performs there. So he's running in and out, taking pictures. He kind of gives me a little wave. And actually, no idea who I am, of course, but I remember him. I'm trying not to be a huge fanboy and geek out on this. And then I turn around. And Christy D'Elia comes walking in with three of the most beautiful, beautiful young ladies you've ever seen. And I'm looking around, and I start thinking, all the comedy podcasts I listen to, all the social media posts I see of the Comedy Store, when they show their set lists on social media, all these huge names, Bill Burr, Brody Stevens, Chris D'Elia, Earl Skakel was there last night. There's too many lists. They were all they're just there. Steve, Simone. They all start floating in and out. Floating in and out of this Comics Only bar. Adam Egan, the famed Adam Egan from Based on a True Story, the Norm MacDonald memoir, Norm MacDonald's podcast, single-handedly is credited with turning around the popularity of the Comedy Store in recent years. He comes floating in. Rick Ingram's in the building. It was incredible, and I'm trying not to be a complete idiot. Then the little bar, private bar, starts filling up, and Steve comes back, and we're talking with other comics and just hanging out. And this is, like I said, about 9:30, 9:45. Brody Stevens takes the stage again in the main room. Steve goes, "Hey, let's go check out Brody." And by now it's like 1:30 in the morning. Hours were there at the world famous Comedy Store hanging out. And Steve and I go and we grab a booth in the back of the main room and we're watching Brody and it's hilarious. He is, like I say, filming this special coming up on CISO at some point in the near future. And we're laughing. It's great. I can't believe I'm there in a booth in the main room with Steve Simone. Kirk Fox is 5 feet away. And we're watching one of the most dynamic comics you will ever see, Brody Stevens. Riff. Solid. He's been up there for a couple hours already. And he's tearing it up, and Steve leans over and he goes, "Hey, man, I got to sneak out of here. I got to get home and get to bed." He had just flown in from Philly like a day and a half ago and immediately goes on stage at the Improv, then back on at the Comedy Store. So I assume I got to go. I'm there with him. And I go, "So do I got to go? You want me to go?" He goes, no, hang out. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Give me a call tomorrow." And he leaves. And I sit there and I watch Brody for a little longer, and then I see Don Barris, the famed Don Barris, on the other side of the room. He gets up and leaves. I don't know where he's going. So I kind of get up. This is a pretty packed room, and I want to go check out the original room, the tiny original room. There's a show going up on the Belly Room too. I didn't even get up there upstairs, but I kind of go to the original room, and Earl Skakel's up there, hilarious. Don Barris is, I believe he's next up, but he comes floating in the room. He's ready to go. And I don't want to leave. I don't want to head out, but it's late, and I'm tired. I've been on the road since, it's now almost 2 a.m., and I've been on the road, I've been up since 4:30. I've been on the road since 6 a.m., and I got to go, but I don't want to. So I go out to the patio, and I'm looking around at some of the biggest names in American comedy are just sitting around, having a drink, having a smoke. And I call up an Uber for my second Uber of my life, my second of the night. And it's 2 minutes away. And that was Vic. And Vic pulls up in a beautiful Infiniti, brand new. And he goes, "Hey, you like Tupac?" I don't, but I don't know. I know who he is. I know he's dead. I know he's an iconic rapper. And I said, "Yeah, of course I do." And he cranks it up to 11. And we whisk away from the world-famous Comedy Store, me and Vic, with Tupac blaring through as we cruise through Hollywood on the way back to the motel. And thus ended my night. And then this morning we wake up, we get cleaned up, take the kids to breakfast, and then come on out to the Santa Monica Pier to sit back and watch the waves and reflect on how beautiful California is, but I will never move back because I cannot stand the traffic. So tonight I will be back to the Comedy Store. I'm getting there a little early. Steve and I will meet up before he goes on stage. I believe he's on at 7:30. So I'm going to head over about 6:30, and Steve will be meeting up with me about 7. I am going to ask him to give me a little tour if he would. I want to see the belly room. I want to get down to the basement where they record the podcasts and film down there as well. If he has time, it's going to be a monster lineup again tonight. I think Burr is back. I don't know who else. I was beside myself at how excited I was to be there. It was truly a magical night for a comedy geek like myself to be at the world-famous Comedy Store with my friend Steve in the comics-only bar, just watching the... We didn't even see that much comedy. I saw Earl for a little bit. I saw Brody Stevens up there for a little bit. But the pleasure was in sitting back in the heart of American comedy as we know it, the inner sanctum of the Comedy Store. So I thank you, Mr. Steve Simone, for taking me under your wing and letting me hang out there and doing so again tonight, I hope. He's at Flappers tomorrow, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to go with him there or meet up with him there or if I'm going to be allowed to get back to the Comedy Store. I don't know. It's going to be a lot of fun, though. So it has been the startup with our two horrible motels is now over, and we are enjoying the fresh air and sea breezes in Santa Monica, and I will be back at the Comedy Store tonight. I'm going to close out with a quick little few minutes. I talked with a young man named Ben and his mom. They are visiting here as well, like myself, from the other Mile High City, from Denver, Colorado, and that's what I'm closing out on. So thanks for tuning in. BarkBox, use that button right there at milehighshow.com. Use the Amazon link as well to help support the show. BarkBox, treats for your pets, healthy treats for your pets. Amazon, everything that you buy, you can do so from that Amazon link at milehighshow.com and help out the podcast by supporting us to help me pay for expensive rooms in Hollywood that are not rat and cockroach infested. And don't ever stay at the LAX Suites on Aviation Boulevard in Inglewood. That's the sound of waves. I do miss the water, but I do not miss the traffic.
So if you can, thanks for sitting down with me. What's your name?
Benjamin.
And you're from Denver?
Yeah.
How long have you been in Denver?
All my life.
That's your whole life?
Yeah.
Mom's not, is this your mom?
Yeah.
Mom's not from Denver, I can tell.
No.
Come on, just for a second. Where are you from originally?
Ethiopia. East Africa, Ethiopia.
And what's your name?
Dalila. Dalila.
That's a beautiful name. How long have you been in the States?
It's a little over 20 years now.
What brought you to America from East Africa or West Africa?
East Africa.
What brought you to the States from East Africa?
Oh, well, my sister came before, and then she sponsored me and my brother, and then, yeah.
And then you got this guy. How do you like Denver compared to East Africa?
I like Denver. I live long enough, you know, long time, and I mean, nothing like home, you know. Yeah, I have to be honest.
And I'm sorry, was it Benjamin? Yeah. Now, you guys, are you here on vacation?
Yeah.
How long have you been in here for, California?
Since yesterday.
Yeah. Did you guys drive out or fly?
Fly.
How are you liking it? This isn't when you listen to Beach Boys songs, and, well, that's before your time. But when you listen to songs about California and the beach, it's always sunshine and surfing and playing in the water. It's a little different today, huh?
Yeah. Too cold, pretty cloudy. Right. No, that's all right. Better than Denver.
What was the weather in Denver before you came out?
It was hot, 70.
Yeah, it was sunny.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. This year was just like surprise, you know.
But blame that on global warming, huh? No? So what do you guys got planned for are you staying in Santa Monica?
We're going to Disneyland tomorrow. And then
that's the happiest place on earth, I hear. You going to stand in line all day?
<don't know.
laughs> So what else you got planned for California while you're here?
I don't know. Just like go to downtown, like shop and stuff. I don't know.
Well, don't spend all your money. Save some. Buy your mom a nice present. What are you going to buy her? Don't listen. It's a surprise. What are you going to buy her?
I don't know.
Get her some of those bunny ears, the Mickey Mouse ears, with her name across the front. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.